This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked. Here we go, hour number two of USA Prepares. I'm just chuckling because I sent an email out asking for a quote for a solar charge controller to a company that I know. And the price that they came back with was ridiculously high, and the shipping was high. They wanted roughly $715 for a solar charge controller, you know, delivered to me. I'm going to send them an email back saying, no, thanks anyway. This hour, we're going to be talking about cybersecurity and the Colonial Pipeline hack. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Vin. How you doing out there?
I am just stunned. It, like, I just can't get over people's behavior, things that they do, how stupid they are. You know, like putting gasoline in a garbage bag and putting it in the trunk of a car, or putting gasoline in one of those storage totes that, you know, you might put under your bed or in your closet for clothing, and just, you know, driving home with that. I mean, it's just the dumbest things I've seen in quite a long time. But there's no limit to stupidity. I think it's infinite. I think even Albert Einstein said that stupidity is infinite.
You know, I even heard of some vehicles catching fire after doing that.
I mean, really, you know, I mentioned that one drop, and don't do this, class, one drop of gasoline in a in one of those steel paint cans, you know, if you have one, a lid, and you put one drop in it, and you have a little hole in the side, you put just one drop of gasoline, you shake that can back and forth, and you fully volatilize that gasoline. If you could had a match on a 20-foot pole and you approach that little hole, that can would shoot up 20 feet in the air with one drop. So these people are putting, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 gallons of gasoline in garbage bags. I mean, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? And so that brings us to the point with where, what about these cybersecurity hackers who have done this? What about what about that grandmother who has to go to dialysis, you know, every couple of days, and she can't get there because they don't have gasoline? What about the people who have died because of this? You know, the penalty should be really severe. Like drawing and quartering, public execution, public hanging. Well, there's no question that the person was, you know, executed. You know, not like a lethal injection where they can fake it. I'm talking about gallows on the public square. Back to you.
Well, unfortunately, the hackers were in Russia. But, you know, I want to get into what actually happened in a second, but can I just say that best indications are the real run on the gas was not because of the pipeline shutting down. It was because of everybody immediately going to fill their tanks up. And that's caused more damage than the pipeline shutdown.
Well, yeah, and we discussed that a little bit in hour number one. There was a guy with a little trailer, a small trailer with 4 55-gallon drums, and he's filling them up. Other people had plastic 300-gallon totes that they were filling up. Other people were filling up, you know, 12 5-gallon cans, you know, those red cans with gasoline. I mean, gosh, I understand having gasoline on hand. We do at the farm. But if everybody does that, That will cause a panic. But who's going to be the first one to say, nah, you know what, I'm just not going to, I have a quarter of a tank, I'll leave it like that, that's okay. Who's going to be the first one to do that? And what's happened is gasoline hit $9.99 because it can't go to $10 because the signs, those new electronic signs, don't go to $10 yet. So what they'll have to do is say, you know what, it's $10 per, not gallon, but per quart. I mean, that's what they'd have to do.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah. And by the way, we talk about electric cars, obviously, having, I think the best thing is a plug-in hybrid, where you basically I have two vehicles that have two gas tanks. One's for electricity, and one is for gasoline. And if one or the other shuts down, I still have the other one. Really, I think that's the best way to go. But let's talk about what actually happened on the Colonial Pipeline, because I think there's a lot of misinformation. You know, there's media that wants to kind of just evolve the story. And, for instance, the pipeline was actually not hacked. What happened was that the hack group stole the data for the pipeline from the company. And then the Colonial Pipeline freaked out and said, uh-oh, we don't know what could happen. So the pipeline itself shut itself down. The hackers did not shut the pipeline down. Now, how many people actually know that?
Well, now thousands do, as of this second. Yep. Thousands.
Wow. Yeah. So, and I don't know if that was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. But the next thing the pipeline did is pay the ransom. And, you know, at first that information was not coming out. But in fact, within hours of them being notified of the hack, they paid 75 bitcoins to the hackers. Immediately, they paid it. But at the same time, they shut the pipeline down themselves. So scratch your head on that one. But that's not the end of the story. The hackers being, I don't know if we can say this, honorable hackers. I don't think you can say that. But the hackers sent them the information, but the information was in it was already encrypted, and Colonial Pipeline could not encrypt it. So how many people know that actually what it looks like is that the pipeline was restored without anything to do of the return data from the hackers because they couldn't decrypt it. So they basically slowly returned it from some obscure backups that they could find and slowly restored the pipeline. So the hackers made out with the money. The pipeline, you know, now is restored, but actually probably got delayed by them trying to use the decryption from the hackers. And we have to wonder, did they really need to shut it down at all just because the hackers stole their database? And I don't know enough to say yes or no, but it seems like one alternative, at least for us to discuss and say could have been a possibility, would have been not to shut down the pipeline and not to pay the ransom. And but, you know, what happened happened, and gas stations still do not have all their fuel, and people are still online for the gas stations that have it to buy gas.
So I was talking with a guy in a senior position at an insurance company, and this made the news. It's a pretty large company, and they were hacked. This was a little while ago. They were hacked. And the FBI got involved, the government got involved, and told the company to shut down all the email accounts, every single email account. So this hack wouldn't spread to all the computers of the remote workers of this particular insurance company. It's a really large company. You all know who it is. I'm just not going to say it. Well, ultimately, the company decided to succumb and pay the ransom. to get the keys, because what happened is the hack compromised the files, the databases of this insurance company, and encrypted them. So to get the files unencrypted, they needed the keys. So the company paid the ransom, and the hackers, if you want to call them semi-honorable, wanted to send the keys to unencrypt the files. But they couldn't, because the government told the insurance company to shut down all the email accounts. So the company didn't have the email accounts to receive the keys to fix the computer's network. How's that?
Yeah, we got to think this stuff out a little better. And I'm not saying the federal government can do a better job of figuring or giving us guidelines, but, you know, whether it's companies hiring better IT consultants, we have to think this out better.
Okay, so I was telling Jason during the break, just as we were going to start this hour, that my parents had Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance. And they're living in Missouri. And there was this gal, either in New York City or New Jersey. I think probably she worked in New York City and lived in New Jersey. And she worked for the company. And like all brainless employees, she left her, well, the company's notebook computer in the backseat of her car. Someone thought that they deserved it more than she did and took the laptop or notebook computer. And we got notified that the information regarding my parents' health insurance account had been compromised, and so we needed to change all the checking accounts, savings accounts, credit card accounts, all banking accounts. Now, it's not that my parents used electronic banking. It's they sent checks, but the bank account numbers, etc., were part of this database. That, you know, did we know how much information that this insurance company was keeping on us? No, but they had it all. And so personal information, bank account information, all kinds of information was at risk for not just my parents. Tens of thousands of customers, at least, maybe in the hundreds of thousands, all on this notebook / laptop computer that this moron was careless with. Now, why is that information allowed to be in the backseat of a car in the first place? Why? So that would be the fault of the CEO who hires the IT director or IT vice president, and who hires the IT staff, who writes the policy for how data and information is to be handled and protected. So it starts with the president, and he or she is hired by the board of directors. So it starts at the very top and filters down, and we've got morons everywhere. And the problem is that we are tied to the electronic network. Gas stations order their fuel online through the internet or private network. I mean, everything goes through the internet.
Yeah.
What we buy.
Let's talk about
and,
that.
Yeah, let's talk about
when
that.
When we come back.
I'd like to hear. Yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess. So we do it the old-fashioned way. We write checks. We'll be right back.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
It's gonna be sliding. Why don't you take my when you got the for 2 seconds?
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Bert's with us live in California. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at some data, and people are complaining about $3 a gallon gasoline because of the run-on gas, and they fail to realize that out here in California, we've been paying over $4 a gallon since January. So, you know, some gas stations are close to $5 out here now. Has nothing to do with the Colonial Pipeline, so $3 would look cheap to us right now. But anyway, as I mentioned, most of the shortage of gas was simply because of the hoarding. Now, the pipeline made some really bad decisions on what they did. But, you know, we'll be back to normal soon, hopefully. But soon, maybe a week or two. But this could happen again. And you brought up the Internet. So what I'd like to talk about is what's called the Internet of Things, and I actually work in this field. A lot of it has to do with wireless, and I've developed products for it. But there's a scary part of it, because what the Internet of Things means is everything will be connected on the Internet. And, I mean, I'm talking about not just, you know, your car or your home, but I'm talking about your toaster, your electric toothbrush, your, you know, everything. And I just don't believe there's enough security around how things are being done right now for what's called Internet of Things. But I have a question for you then. You worked at a bank in, I believe, the 1980s?
Yeah, I worked for actually three of the largest credit card banks in the country. Yeah, I was their dreamer.
Okay, and you probably, given, you had a background in technology and computers and finance, you probably got a little bit on the security side, and I'm guessing there, but there was no such thing as the Internet then, was there?
Well, the Internet was brand new. One of the things that we pioneered was letting people apply for a credit card online. That was one thing. But we only got maybe 20 applications a week. But it was brand new back then. Brand new.
Yeah. So basically your bank account was not connected to the Internet. Your stock market account was not connected to the Internet. Your financial resources were not connected to the Internet. It all is now. And I get it. It's got to be convenient so you can go in and, pay some bills from your checking account and move money around. And the Internet's great doing that, but it's open to hack because obviously other people can get in to the Internet. And if you think about it, does everything really need to be connected to the Internet? In other words, let me throw this out for you. What if you have a power plant? And it doesn't have to be nuclear, any type of power plant. Obviously, critical infrastructure. There's controls. There's usually, depending on how big a power plant it is, there's a control room with people in it. Some are fairly automated, might only be one person in it. Some, like a nuclear power plant, there's a whole crew in there. But why does that plant need to be connected to the Internet? I mean, they do it so you can send data in and out and control things remotely and monitor things remotely, but maybe, just maybe, it should be removed from the Internet. Why can't you control that power plant from computers right there in the control room with absolutely no connection to the outside world, except, maybe some outgoing statistics? Why couldn't you do that? And I propose you could do that.
I know you can do it. I did it back in 1993. Zoom is a big deal, right? Meeting via Zoom. Well, back in 1993, I demonstrated. I took two personal. I did this with my computer class at the high school level in a very poor rural county of Virginia. I took two computers that we built in our classroom, and I used H.323 protocol. And literally, we had video telephone. We had sharing of, it was point-to-point with a dial-up modem, 19.2 kbps modem. And we could have video. We could share files. We could share a whiteboard. All at the same time over a point-to-point communication. As a matter of fact, Newt Gingrich heard about it, and he really wanted it. But he wanted to have it, for the whole gang, for all of Congress. But it was just point-to-point with two people. So, yes, you absolutely positively can do what you're doing point-to-point. You don't need to have the Internet for it. You're right.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with two extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The CDC announced Thursday fully vaccinated people can resume activities without wearing a mask or physically distancing. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz on Fox News.
Well, my reaction to the CDC's announcement is it's about time. that we should be following the science and not playing politics. And from the beginning of COVID, there's been far too much politics connected to it.
And then more confusion in the CDC press release. It says, except where required by law, local businesses and workplace guidance can ignore science and continue to make you wear a mask no matter the circumstance. Italian police in Sicily have blocked 1.5 million users that were illegally streaming content from providers in the United States, including Netflix and Comcast Sky Unit. A police statement said more than 200 officers were involved in the operation, which led to 45 people being charged for allegedly conspiracy to illegally access IT infrastructure and commit fraud. USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Hazing incidents continue to happen at American colleges. One is being sued because of a hazing death. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The family of an Ohio college student who died during a fraternity hazing incident is suing that fraternity and several of its members. The family of Stone Fultz has filed a wrongful death suit against the national chapter of Pi Kappa Alpha and 10 members of the chapter at Bowling Green State University in the death of their son. Fultz died on March 20th of alcohol poisoning after a hazing ritual that saw pledges allegedly blindfolded and forced to drink an entire bottle of alcohol.
Since 2000, there have been more than 50 hazing-related deaths. The causes are varied. Heat stroke, drowning, alcohol poisoning, head injuries, asphyxia, cardiac arrest. But the tragedies almost involve a common denominator, kids and alcohol. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky on MSNBC talks about the new CDC guidelines for fully vaccinated people ditching the mask.
Now, that said, I think your point is really well taken. For the last 15 months, we've been saying wear a mask. And so it's been ingrained in us. You can't leave the house without a mask. I went for a walk for the first time without a mask outside a week ago, and that felt strange, right? So I think we all are going to have to become comfortable with this again. But what we're saying is now is time to make those efforts to start getting comfortable.
Thanks for listening. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us, and you're absolutely right, and I'm resisting and dragging my feet every step of the way about connecting to the Internet and the Internet of Things. Currently, well, in 2000, 18% of the cost of the average automobile was due to electronics, 18% in the year 2000. 10 years later, it's 27%. That'd be 2010. 10 years later, it's 40%. That was last year, 2020. 40% of the cost of a new car is electronics. By 2030, they're thinking 45%. Back to you, Bert.
So are you saying that eventually it could be 100%? Then what would be driving?
No, they still have to have a seat. and they still have to have doors and maybe a windshield, but and some, you know, gaskets and tires. But now they're I got to tell you, it's really crazy, because if you look under the hood of a vehicle, and that's where most of the heat is. I mean, next to the catalytic converter, under the hood is the hottest part of a car. And that's where they put some of the computers, like the engine control computers. So if the underhood temperature is like 185, 195 degrees, because the engine's running at 205 degrees, it's crazy to put a computer there, because computers have capacitors, electrolytic capacitors, and they dry out. They always dry out. It's just, when do they dry out? Is it 5, 10, 15 years? But that's one of the reasons why computers fail, because the I'm just telling the class. I'm not telling you. You already know these things. But that's a big problem. Heat is an enemy of sophisticated electronics and semiconductors. Our class knows that. So, you know, why are we putting the computers under the hood of a car? It's dumb.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. We're getting a little obscure here, but electrolytic and also tantalum capacitors are one of the first things to go out on, let's say, a printed circuit board crammed full of electronics. In fact, I was affected by that because several years ago, General Electric refrigerators had their motherboards manufactured in China to save costs, and the Chinese were making these tantalum capacitors that were notoriously contaminated and not built to the right quality standard, and the tantalums would fail, and you know, hundreds of thousands of refrigerators basically shut down because basically bad tantalum capacitors. GE offered the replacement boards at cost, and I put one in myself in my refrigerator, but it was pretty nerve-wracking. And, you know, when I found out what the cause was, I go, oh, my God, how could they have, you know, not done the right quality control on those boards?
Yeah, my refrigerator doesn't have a circuit board. It has just mechanical, electrical/mechanical controls. There's no digital display. It's got a compressor and it's got, you know, relays, but they're all electromechanical. Nothing solid state in our refrigerator, freezer. Now, the dishwasher, that's different. You know, that has a computer, but the idea is to keep those computers as cool as you can. As a matter of fact, the circuit boards, we have three charge controllers for our solar system, and they have these great big heat sinks, and they run hot. And I don't like it. I checked them yesterday, they're 120 degrees. So I have a fan on them, external fan, to keep them cooler than they would normally be, because I think it'll make them last longer. And I don't want to replace these, you know, $500 charge controllers. And I don't want to have to replace the capacitors because they dried out prematurely because they got too warm. But I don't think the customers of these companies really understand how dependent they are on the Internet of Things. Now, please continue, Bert.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, sometimes the best security is simply to literally remove your computer or computer system from the Internet. And in many cases, you don't need to be on the Internet, depending on what those computers are doing. You know, I gave you the example of the power plant. Well, let's look at the pipeline. I mean, did that pipeline really need to be connected to the Internet? I'm not so sure. You know, you can make decisions on what to pump, you know, whether you're sending diesel fuel up that day or gasoline or whatever it is. You can make those decisions by calling someone up on the phone and pushing the right buttons at the control center, you don't need to have your data, the database for, let's say, that pipeline exposed over the Internet. Just keep it, keep it stored on a hard drive at the central location, and if somebody wants it, figure out a better way to get it to them than just giving them a passcode to get in on the Internet into that computer system. I mean, there's ways to do it. And, I mean, literally the best way is just pull the plug and remove the Ethernet connector from your computer. I guarantee you, you won't be hacked if you do that.
Okay. Bert, do you remember back when personal computers were making the scene And under the monitor, you could have one of these switch boxes. And they would have a master switch. And then these were neon lighted or neon illuminated rocker switches that would disconnect the power for the computer, the monitor, the printer, auxiliary one, auxiliary two. Have you ever see those? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
they sat under the monitor?
I used those.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I bought two of them years and years and years ago. I bought them used on eBay. And so I've got them right in front of me, two of them, one stacked on the other. And I'll tell you what I have connected. So there's a master switch for the top one. And on top of that, there's a flat screen. So I have a network connected to it, meaning this network switch is connected to one of them. The mic mixer and the mixer that I use for this broadcast is connected to another one. And then there's PC number one, PC number two, and PC number three. Monitor number one, monitor number two, monitor number three, the printer, and a DVD Blu-ray player slash television screen is connected to the other one. And then there are two master control switches. So what happens after the broadcast, after I'm done, I shut off the power to the devices I'm not using. And if I shut off the switch that says net for network, the network switch goes off, and that's the equivalent of unplugging the network switch from the internet because there's no power to it. And that's what I do. So I'm not going to be hacked because I shut off the computers, not by the on-off button on the computers, because if you just use that soft touch button, class, your computer's not off. It's just sort of off. Because if you look at the back, you'll see that there are LEDs that are lit up, like for the network. So you, even though you've pushed that button on the front of your computer tower, for example, your computer's not off. It's sort of off. It's probably like 95% off. Bert, is that correct or what?
I mean that it sounds like you've thought this through, just what we're talking about, because I'd have to see your network to tell you exactly what's going on, but just literally removing your computer from the network. And by the way, be careful about connecting it to your TV, because the TV might be plugged into the internet. There was a story out that Samsung was actually monitoring people's homes through the internet connection on the TVs, and they were collecting data about your TV viewing habits and sending it back over the internet, basically spying on you through the internet connection plugged into your television set.
Right, and they had monitors. So if you think about it, class, if when you're watching TV, you've gotten a position where you can see it, you know, easily, comfortably. Well, your TV, if it had a camera and a microphone, it could watch and listen to you comfortably. So the TVs that we have in our house are not smart TVs, because we're smart enough not to have a smart TV.
Yeah, do you have trouble in vacuum tube replacements when you need to repair those TVs then?
Yes, it's funny you say that, but that's what we used to do. We had vacuum. No, these are solid state, but they're not connected to the internet. Now we have a Blu-ray player that if I want to watch Netflix or something like that, or watch a YouTube video, I can power it up. But it's normally not powered up. So if I don't want it to be powered up, it's not. And so the TV itself is not connected to the internet. But the Blu-ray player is. But it's an old Blu-ray player before microphones and all that stuff. So it's an old one. I mean, real old. As a matter of fact, some of the equipment that we have is so old that Netflix says, no, we don't even support that anymore.
Wow. That's old.
Yeah.
You got to be careful, because sometimes when you shut something off, it's not off. Did you know that? I mean, because you turn the power switch off, there could still be things going on. Best example is our satellite receivers. I know when I turn off my DirecTV satellite receiver, it's actually still on. There's still things going on inside that box that it's doing. So, what you think is off is really standby, in a sense.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. That's why I have these two switch boxes, and I think they're called computer power centers or power controls or computer switches. And they have the old-fashioned switches, rocker switches, that have neon lights inside them. And they're so old that some of the neon light bulbs are burned out in the switches. So you turn a switch on, the light lights up on that switch. So some of these are, you know, blinking because they're barely still working. So I bought neon replacements so I can take the switches apart and put new neon bulbs in them. But anyway, we've got them all over the house. For all of our electronic equipment, we have switches so that we can just hit a button and we can shut it off because I don't want to be spied on. You know, some people say, well, they're not going to hear anything. Well, I don't care whether someone's not doing anything wrong or not. It's none of Samsung's business what's going on in the living room, the kitchen, the dining room, or, you know, the den with that TV. It's none of their business. And who do they think they are? Who do they think they are spying on us? And I resent the fact that, you know, refrigerators are connected wirelessly to some people's houses. And so they can, how many times did that door open? What is the temperature? They can tell when you're home based on when you open the refrigerator door or not, right? If you're not home, you don't open it, right?
Yeah. You know, in California, they're working on connecting your power in your home and specifically air conditioners to the internet, so that if there's a power crisis, which we sadly have too often here, the power company, really the government, can shut down part or all of the electricity in your home remotely.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, you know, also the Internet of Things. Like, so we have these self-driving cars. Well, what happens if you're driving one of these self-driving cars and it's connected to the internet or satellite or, you know, G5, and you're going down the road and the police department says, no, we need to arrest him. And so they just tell the car to drive over to the police station, you know, lock your doors, lock you in, and drive you over to the police station. So you can have your car deliver you to the police station, and it could be just on some, you know, some clerk could be having fun and on a lark, just say, well, let's bring them over. Let's have some fun with them. It's not going to happen to me because my cars aren't that smart, and neither are our trucks.
Yeah.
And neither is our refrigerator and freezer and the rest of it.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me, and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
I went through great lengths to buy a spare television, 43-inch. So that we could get the last one, the last non-smart television. And that's what we have. And, you know, Bert, you were talking about the Internet of Things. I was thinking, so what's on the list? Well, I guess the Internet of Things could include a hot water heater, of course, the air conditioning system, the heating system, a hot tub. We don't have one of those. A dishwasher, television set, satellite TV, a clothes washer, a clothes dryer, the vacuum, you know, central vacuum system, the security system, you know, the computers. So the whoever they are, the deep state, they could know when you wash your clothes, when you dry your clothes, when you turn on the heat for the hot tub, how often you open and close the refrigerator and freezer doors, what you're watching on TV and for how long, and whether you leave the TV on all night or not. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know, you mentioned the electric toothbrush, the toaster. I mean, frankly, it's nobody's business what you put in your toaster and when you use it. Back to you.
Yeah, Vince, you forgot probably an even more critical area. That would be medical and health care. And
they already have
it. I mean, think about it.
They already have it. They already have
yeah.
it. They absolutely,
yeah.
They know electronically. They know about your x-rays. They know about your medical records. They know about what medicines you're on. They know whether you reorder them or not. And they control. They control your medicines. They control every part of your life already. And now they just want to know more. They want more information. Anyway, you think about it. And I've asked this question, hypothetical question. What would the king do? What would the king do? And what I mean by that is, if there were a king, what would the king want to know? Would the king want to reduce air pollution? Yeah, I think so. Would the king want to unclog the highways? Yeah, I think so. Would the king want less people to be clogging and using resources? Yeah, I think so. So what would the king do? Well, it'd be population reduction. Okay. And the king's in charge because the king has an army. And the army has all kinds of names. It's got Air Force, Navy, Marines, regular army. Then they have the police and they have the sheriff's office. I mean, there are all kinds of armies. And then there's the IRS army, the tax people that control our behavior. And so, Bert, I've done some things I'm not happy with. I'm not proud of. I built one of the first systems, press one, press two, on your telephone, automated response systems back in the 80s. I thought it was great. I did it for the bank, so you could call up and get your bank account information. It was great. And now I hate it. I patted myself on the back. Wow, what a great job. And then I thought, this is terrible. This is really terrible. And it is terrible, and I hate those things. I hate those voice prompt systems. I'd rather talk to a person. But now we don't have people that are smart enough to answer the phone and help you.
Yeah, remember what George Carlin said about the average person? He said, I've been traveling all around the country, and I got to meet so many people, and what amazes me is how dumb the average person is. And then he went on and said, but then I started thinking about it, and it occurred to me that that's nothing. What really is disturbing is that half the people are even dumber than the average person.
Right.
Of course, he should have said median, but we don't want to be mathematicians.
Yeah. No. The message is that it's amazing how dumb the average person is, and half are dumber than that. And, and for the most part, he's right. He's absolutely right. And they are dumb, like the people who put gasoline in garbage bags. Like the people who put gasoline in laundry totes. I mean, really? And these are people that are driving expensive, brand-new cars. How's that possible? I mean, I drive an antique truck, and I know enough not to do that. And, Bert, I was thinking about, when you were talking about the air conditioning, it could be turned off remotely by the corrupt state of California. Well, when they get to the point where they look at your battery in your electric vehicle. So if the Internet of Things says, if you're plugged in and there's a way you can monitor your battery remotely, they can monitor it as well. And they can say, well, Bert's got a quarter of a charge, and I'll give him like 30 miles, maybe 40 miles if he goes slowly and the wind's going the right way and he's going downhill. Let's lock him into that area. So we're just going to shut off his charger.
Oh, worse than that, they want to monitor where you're going to be driving to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, and for that reason, I don't wash my license plates. If I wash the vehicle, I wash everything but the license plate. I want to save that extra detergent for something important. So I don't wash my license plate. Either one. So, class, we're in for a rough ride, and the Internet of Things is going to help them monitor you. So you can resist it. You can. There's not much going on here with the Internet of Things. Actually, there's nothing going on with the Internet of Things. Bert, thanks so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge with us.
Thank you, Ben.
A little scary. A little scary. See you next week.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the system that cleans air and surfaces. It's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.